Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Gina Grad joins us, as well as the good doctor, Dr. Reef, R-E-E-F, an addiction medicine specialist. And boy, could we use one here full-time at this station. Just get an office
That's
here.
What I'm here for.
Yes. Also dealing in sex, drugs, and relationships. So if you need a helping hand, and it's not embarrassing to grab a doctor every once in a while and say, hey, I think my life is a little effed up. Could you help me out? Because you have tools that can help people out and make their lives easier.
Yeah, I was in school for, 13, 14 years.
Is that right?
Long time.
Oh, boy. Now, what happens when you get down? You go see someone?
It's a good question. Yeah. I'm proud of you, too. As a psychiatrist in training, we have to go see somebody for analysis or for psychotherapy.
Every year?
Well, you have to do, I had to do at least 2 years. I did it in my second and my third year. And I had an analyst. And I don't know if you know the difference.
Woody Allen of you.
Yeah, I know, right? My guy was an analyst. And so in psychodynamic psychotherapy, there's interpretations that are happening in
very
the room.
Freud.
But as an analyst, the analyst often takes on the role of somebody that you are having a hard time with in your life. It might be the controlling father or the mom who's too nurturing and smothering or whatever. And you just kind of project that stuff onto the analyst because the analyst doesn't really talk to you too much.
Really?
They represent something. And they come to major conclusions when they've had enough data. And they can be really good. But mine, he never talked to me. He didn't say anything.
You just talked for an hour?
Yeah, imagine going in and you're just like, I had a really crazy day today. And you start talking. And then you stop and you wait for the other person to say something. And they just stare at you.
Wow.
And so 5 or 10 minutes of silence goes by, and then you're like, yeah, and it was really weird. On Tuesday, I went to Burger King, and that was really weird. And then you run out of things to say, and they're just staring at you. And you're like, what do I do with this? So imagine day after day, week after week of that. I didn't know what to do with this guy. I hated him.
It caused you anxiety.
Yeah, I never even talked to the guy.
F that guy.
So it was interesting. No, but it can be great. It can be really great if you've got the right therapist or the right analyst and they can actually kind of see your behavior. Because we all have a blueprint. We're kind of like a car. And we have a blueprint, the way that we deal with conflict, the way we deal with relationships, the way we celebrate, the way we just deal with stress, deal with everything. And there's certain patterns we have based on our childhood and based on our development and our relationships. And if we know our blueprint, we're better able to do the good stuff and not do the bad stuff. You know what I mean? That gets us into trouble.
Right. And does that blueprint change over the years?
It can. I mean, you can make healthier choices.
Right.
But what you've imprinted in your environment when you're growing up, it's called attachment theory, where, the way that you responded to your caregivers when you're growing up, when you were a little infant, all the way through a toddler, all the way through, your childhood.
Right.
That kind of interaction that you had with the opposite sex parent and same sex parent may play out in the way that you have relationships currently. So, if you had a really controlling mom, I've seen this happen all the time to my patients. Okay. When you had a really controlling mom, you grow up later in life, and a lot of guys from controlling mom parents are really wild and free and don't have a care in the world in their relationships until they develop an emotional intimacy to the girlfriend that they have at that time.
Right.
When they become emotionally intimate with that girl, they freak because anything that woman can do, and it might be really innocent, hey, can you throw out the trash? It smells bad.
Mm.
They may take that on their little superhighway of any woman is controlling, any woman I care about is controlling, any woman I love is controlling.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they're like, what the hell, trash? Why do I got to do it? What are you talking about? And they may freak out, and the woman didn't mean anything by it.
Right. Well, that's why, a lot of times women will say, just be honest with me. Just talk to me. Tell me what's wrong. Tell me. Talk. And then you finally say, okay, I don't like it when you leave after you brush your teeth. There's toothpaste in the sink. I don't like that. Me? How about when you bang, 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 and you're like, forget it.
Yeah, you were just set up there.
Yeah,
you know
forget
what I mean?
It. I'll just wipe the toothpaste off. All right, let's take some phone calls here. A lot of people in this town need some help, and Dr. Reef is with us. Awfully nice of you to stop by, by the way.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's talk to Phil in San Clemente. You're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, what's up with you?
Not much. I just want to comment on the whole Barack Obama smoking scenario.
Oh, isn't that ridiculous?
It is ridiculous. I mean, if I was Barack Obama and I was asked that question by Tom Brokaw, I would just say, I'm not even going to entertain that question. If you have more, if you have something more important that you want to, you know, ask me about, go ahead by all means. But there's better ways that I can use my time.
And don't you think that Brokaw, you know, he's an older guy. He's probably in his 60s or 70s. Got to be in his 70s. Don't you think that he may have smoked earlier on in his career?
Yeah.
And maybe off the air he'll say, well, you know, I don't even agree with what I just said, but I had to ask him because everyone's so politically correct. I don't believe that Tom Brokaw even, you know, thinks that Barack Obama shouldn't be smoking. And also, here's, we'll move on from smoking, but I had a friend, her name was Amy. I can't tell your last name because we're not really on speaking terms anymore.
No.
But she told me a great story. She worked for NBC in New York City. And she was an intern at NBC. And when she got to Rockefeller Center every day, she would walk by all these guys smoking outside and go up to the building and do her work and then come down for lunch. And all these guys would be smoking outside. And she looked around and she's like, wait a minute. All the executives, the CEO, the CFO, the big producers, the big writers, they're all outside smoking. She goes, I'm going to start smoking. She starts smoking, meets all these guys. And literally 6 months later, she was like an assistant producer on like Entertainment Tonight or one of these big shows.
Wow.
And because she knew all these guys. And everyone's like, how do you know all these guys? Like, well, they're all outside on the, you know, on the front, you know, on the front steps smoking cigarettes. That's where I met them all. Now, she died of lung cancer, but she had a great job.
She had a good run.
Yeah. All right, Phil. Yeah, I agree with you, man. It's ridiculous that this guy had to do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I just wanted to make the point, too, that I'm actually a senior manager in a biomedical company, and I know a lot of top executives that love to get together, and they love to have a drink every once in a while, and they love to have a good cigar every once in a while. And if you're talking about a national leader, I could, and I'd hope that I'd be able to count the number of world leaders on one hand that don't have a drink or a cigar every once in a while. I mean,
right.
One of the most famous leaders in our time, you know, Winston Churchill, the guy smoked like 20 cigars a day.
I mean, yep. If you look back at the old Johnny Carson tapes, I mean, he smoked during the show. You know, be interviewing people and smoking during the show.
Yeah, exactly.
And then everyone became really... All right, Phil, we thank you for calling.
You know, it really comes down to there. Is Tom Brokaw asking that because he assumes that smoking is absolutely a bad choice and it's bad for you? So if we go up to our presidents and we're like, you know what, you're making a bad choice, so I'm going to bust you for smoking. They should ask every overweight, you know, president.
Right.
Are you eating too much? What's going on with you? Yeah. You want to talk
Absolutely.
About your eating habits?
That heart to crap out on you early?
Yeah, but you know what? They would be thrown out of a job if they did that.
Right.
You know, if they said to one of the congressmen, you know, it looks like you're not doing anything about your weight, and I think, and you could probably correct me because you know more than I do, but I think overweight for the first time has surpassed smokers for causes of death. Is that right?
It's smoking is still, well, it depends on.
Is it close?
I mean, smoking is still the supreme, you know.
But obesity is making a run for it.
Well, yeah, because there's so many people that are obese, and but a lot of times we don't know if it's the obesity that caused the heart attack or the atherosclerosis or the lung problem or whatever, or if it was something else. Because a lot of obese people also smoke, so there's comorbidities. There are two problems in one.
You know? How about an overweight guy who loves to smoke?
You know, let's just say if you were overweight, you love to smoke, you get hammered on Thanksgiving.
Jesus Christ, Reed. Every goddamn week now. Every time you got to look at me, you got to give me the snake eye while you're talking about me. Like, you know, I don't know you're talking exactly
please.
About me. I know. I like to smoke weed. Big
you
deal.
You should be taking notes during this, not trying to, you know.
Well, why is he always got to get down on me? I enjoy myself. I'm 23 goddamn years old. I can't have weed. You got to judge me.
Randy. You smoke every day, and you write a blog about how much you love fast food.
And I love doing that blog.
Please. There's a lot of you know, signs that things are going in the right direction.
Yeah, MrFastFood.net.
I know a great anger management program for him if he comes down to it. Yeah.
Now, I'd also heard, and again, you know, we'll move on from smoking here, but my grandfather had about four or five friends that smoked, and every one of his friends, like in their 70s, when they quit smoking, they died 6 months later. Mm-hmm. Does the body just go into shock when there's no nicotine anymore?
Well, I mean, you have nicotine withdrawal. So your body, you are going to have, anybody who's tried to quit smoking is going to know this, right? You definitively have physical symptoms associated with stopping the nicotine and even stopping the ritual of just putting a cigarette in your mouth. Right, there's a ritual to it.
But is one of the side effects death?
Okay, so the side effects generally are not death.
Right.
But it depends on how well your body can handle those physical changes. If you're 40 and you stop smoking, you should be fine. I mean, you'll hurt for a while in the withdrawal symptoms, and you may relapse due to stress, but you're not going to die.
Right.
If you're like 80 and you finally quit smoking, you know what? Your body may have adapted to it so much so that when you quit, you're going to have a much harder time.
Yeah. All right. Well, then quit early, right?
You're going to quit early.
Alyssa in Whittier, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. Dr. Reef is with us. How are you?
I'm good.
All right. What do you got?
I just had a question for Dr. Reef. I know you wanted to move on from smoking, but I just have one question. What's worse, smoking weed or smoking cigarettes?
Hmm. What's worse, smoking weed or cigarettes?
Good question. So, Alyssa, they're both not good, right? We'll start with that. But the THC content, and I've talked to Tim about this before, in pot is much higher now than it's ever been in the past. We've found a very potent way of really putting in a lot of THC.
Leave it to the pot smokers.
Yeah, how about that, right?
I mean, cigarettes haven't increased in strength, but and beer has been the same for 50 years.
But, you know, the reality is cigarettes are a great, I mean, you know, they're not good for you, but they're an incredibly great delivery system. I mean, if you're going to get something, pot as well, if you're going to get something into your brain, cross your blood-brain barrier very, very quickly and get that substance in through your lungs, you know, and doing all the effects that it's going to have. Both of them are just very efficient.
Thank you.
Which is good and it's bad, right? So with marijuana, you've got short-term memory changes, you've got judgment, attention, coordination problems, you've got all sorts of other things besides just the fact that you can do damage to your lungs and, you know, you can have changes with your esophagus and all sorts of other stuff in addition to the nicotine, you know, entering your body. So I would say that smoking is more common, and smoking, you're going to find more commonalities in regards to cancers and problems that way. And you do have less of a life expectancy when you smoke cigarettes. However, with pot, there's more diffuse problems. There's more problems that you can potentially see than cigarettes. But so many more people smoke cigarettes that you're going to see that more in the news that way.
Right. And when, Alyssa, we thank you for calling. When should somebody quit smoking pot? Like, let's say you enjoy it in high school, you enjoy it in college. What is the magic age where you should just, you know, toss the bong?
I'm all about functionality. And I feel like when you, it really depends on if you have a job, you're now 23, you're out of college, you're expected to perform in your job, and you're constantly smoking pot.
Jesus Christ, stop doing this, man.
Randy, please.
See, that was not even a Randy reference.
He said 23 and you said smoking pot.
Doesn't smoking that much pot make you very paranoid?
Yeah, you could think everything's about you,
yeah.
You know, just because you're 23.
Narcissistic and paranoid.
And paranoid.
But you can also smoke pot your entire life and function just fine.
There are some people out there that have been pot smoking their whole lives and are functioning, you know, too. And maybe they're not smoking a lot, or maybe they're doing sporadically. But the more that you smoke pot, the more chances are that if anything, at least your motivational drive will be decreased. Well, and for some people, maybe they don't want to do anything and they just want to hang out.
Professional motivation?
Yeah, like professional. It depends. Your motivation for more pot might be higher.
Yeah, right.
But your motivation, hey, Randy.
Well, see, that's what I was going to say, too. It's like, what are you really comparing it to? Like, they're like, look, I'm 50. I've been smoking pot for 40 years. I'm okay. Well, okay, fine. But you don't know what else you could have done. Exactly.
Yeah, you're staying in your mom's basement on your couch watching The Simpsons all day. Fine, that's cool.
Not a bad way to
roll. You know, whatever. I like The Simpsons, whatever. But if your potential could have been so much more, then you know, you got to weigh that.
What brings about the slow speech in pot? What you know, like the hey dude.
Man.
You know, it decreases cognitive functioning. So in some people, it comes out in the way of dexterity or agility or motivation. In other people, it just comes down to, you know, they speak slowly. They just have, Like, have you ever heard Randy speak really fast? I mean, seriously.
Once in a while, but very rare. All right, let's talk to Chris in Newport Beach. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. Dr. Reef is with us.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
All right, what's up with you?
What's up, Chris?
Well, I'm a recovering meth addict. I've been pretty much clean for 3 years. I had two relapses that lasted like a day long. But I used for like 7 years heavily. In the three years, I've really turned my life around. And 3 years ago, I never would have believed that I could be where I am today. But the one issue that I think that would ever cause me to relapse is the fact that when you use meth, your sex life changes, and like you could be like Superman in the bedroom on meth. And after 7 years of being like that, now I've got to go back to sober sex.
Sober
and I think
sex.
I
Yeah,
and I have like super performance issues. Either A, I'm total premature guy, or B, I'm going to have a hard time going at all. And it's usually A. So anyways, I have like an appointment later this month with a psychiatrist. And I hatched this idea that I'm going to go get Adderall to help me with my sexual problems with my girlfriend. And basically, I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
just to start off. I mean, the thing about meth, this is what's so interesting about meth from a sex standpoint. First off, meth is bad just across the board. It's so neurotoxic. It's just, you know that. But the interesting thing about meth is it increases your arousal. It's an excitability state, right? So you feel like you're Superman sexually as well as other ways when you're on meth. But yet most of the time, there's an impotence factor, you know, that's like the meth limp, you
irony.
Know.
That,
oh,
yeah,
is that right?
Yeah. So it's like, it's this, wow, I feel like I'm Superman. But for the average meth user, they can't perform as well as they'd like, even though they feel like they're Superman. Now,
hell, I must be on meth.
Yeah. There you go.
I didn't even know it.
Now, for some people, like I think Chris, from what Chris is saying, is that, you know, perhaps there is a premature ejaculation problem naturally, maybe, and then when you take the meth, you feel like Superman, and you feel like, you know, you don't get the premature,
right?
Because you're more impotent, so it lasts longer.
Yeah, but don't guys on meth think they're great at everything?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they do. They think they're Superman and
hey,
just
Chris,
in general.
I would leave out of your singles ad either ex-meth addict or premature ejaculation. I wouldn't put them both in.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good in my resume, but it was weird. It was like you could go for hours on meth and, you know.
Was he really going on hours, or was time just passing differently?
It could have been either. It could have been a minute and a half, but you know, you thought it was a couple
all
days.
Night.
No, but it, Chris, the important thing about this Adderall thing is what you're trying to do is, it sounds like the hatched, you know, plan that you have is more to reproduce the stimulating effect by taking Adderall when you don't need it.
Now, I mean, you talked last week about a drug, I think it was more for Vicodin. But
yeah,
could it also help with meth?
No, that's not going to help at all. That's just an opiate drug, the Suboxone. But in this case, what I would do is I would look at if you are on you should talk to your doctor about if you meet criteria for anything like depression or anxiety. I don't know if you do, but if you talk to a psychiatrist, there are certain medications that can delay the orgasm onset. And
is that right?
Yeah, like selective.
Was it called Ugly Women?
Is it Beharitosis?
Beharitosis. But no, like selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors can actually, one of their side effects is to delay orgasm, or sometimes they decrease sex drive, but delaying orgasm is one of them.
Yeah, it's a Joy Behar mask. You put it on your chick and you can last for hours.
It's got a big picture on the pill.
But that's what I was going to ask you, that a lot of people I know that have taken the SSRIs say, well, I had to get off of it because I never wanted to do anything. I never wanted to have sex. So would that backfire, you think, in his case?
It depends on the person. For some people, it would just delay orgasm.
Oh.
And it's actually used as a treatment for premature ejaculation in some people that are also depressed because they're, you know, premature ejaculators
right.
or not.
Well, here I want to ask you something. Here's a problem that I have, and maybe, Chris, you can address this as well. And I'm sure, doctor, you have an opinion on this. But, and this might be a little selfish of me, but I've never been the premature guy, right? But I always would love to have been.
Get it over with.
Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden, like 30 seconds into it, you're done. You're like, I'm going to bed.
Well, do you feel responsible if you did do that? Would you feel responsible to have the woman have an orgasm or not?
Each his own, man. You know? You got it. Gotta get it, yeah. That's the premature guy. That's, you know, he's done in 30 seconds and he's asleep.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, the chick's not into it, but so what? You know, a little selfish bastard.
Those relationships tend to be shorter lived.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I know, you get into another one, then another one, you know? And you're like, man, I'd love to marry you, but, you know, I'm the premature guy.
I heard, I don't know what the website is, but I heard there's a premature ejaculation website where any guy who's a premature ejaculator, you want to make sure, like, you're not dating one of them, and they, like, list people's names
on. Oh, is that right?
It's is really that allowed?
I'm sure it's not allowed, but,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually have the web address for it. It's randywang.com.
MrDairy.net.
All right. Chris, I hope your questions were answered, my brother.
Okay.
All right.
Well, hey, I think Obama should smoke.
Yay.
Okay. All right, then. There you go. Vote for Obama. Let's talk to William in Long Beach. You're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi.
Excellent. What's up, William?
Yeah, I was just saying, while we want to get on, you know, the black man for smoking his cools in the White House, I think I wanted to ask a question about our current president, George Bush. For the doctor, do you think that George Bush has the personality trait right now of someone who's using alcohol heavily?
Well, that's a good question.
That's actually a really good question. Yeah, you know,
I think he's on booze now?
I don't know George Bush, obviously, and I don't, like, hang out with him, so I don't know that stuff.
Hey, William, here's a sort of a splinter area. If you were him, would you be drinking?
If I was married to Laura Bush, yeah.
If I had all that pressure and all those people hated me, I'd be drinking every night.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen people that are alcoholics and their facial features. You know, you can see there's the reddening of
gin
the
blossoms.
Skin. Yeah, that there's certain facial features that I do see in him. What, they're not completely consistent with people that are alcoholics, but you see some of that.
Now, do you think it's likely that once he leaves the White House, he'll start hitting it again?
You know, it depends. If you have a good treatment program and you actually take it seriously and you surround yourself in the sober community, then you got a really good chance of being sober. If you're trying to hide it, mask right. it, you're a big old party boy and you're, you know, whether you're 60, 70 or 20 and you don't surround yourself in the sober community and you know have a huge liquor cabinet at home, the chances of you relapsing are really high.
You know, it sounds to me and God bless all you guys out there who are, you know, completely sober and have been for a long time. But that sounds like a ticket to hell for me, to being surrounded by a sober in the sober community.
Yeah, I know.
It sounds like a lot of really long Saturdays, man.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
There's got to be an in between. It's like when, you know, we had talked about this before. The reason why drinking and driving is illegal, it's not the two guys that have a drink at a bar and then drive home. It's the guy who has 48 drinks and drives to Vegas
yeah.
and wipes out a van of Christians,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That's who we're worried about. But if everybody can control their buzz and treat it like a baby, you know, like a 6-month-old baby, you can play with the baby, but you have to know when to put the baby to sleep. You know, you can drink and you can enjoy yourself, but you got to know when to, you know, maybe get a little help or maybe, you know, put your buzz to sleep for a while.
Right. But on the opposite side, kind of, I'm not a big drinker. I'm not a big recreational anything, really. But I don't want to hang out with somebody who's sober. I really don't.
Is that right? Have you ever done that before?
Hung out with like a totally sober person?
Yeah.
Yes.
You don't like it?
It sucks.
Okay.
It is, you know, it's like you want to be high on life kind of thing when you're sober. And it's.
I don't know anybody like that.
Well, I think there's a lot of denial really that comes with tough. That living, you know.
Like when some guy says, or some chick says, I get out of bed every morning smiling and ready to go. I'm like, what?
Yeah. I don't understand those people either.
Well, that happened.
But think about this. I mean, alcohol has just penetrated our system so... I mean, business meetings, sporting events.
Right. Yes,
half
God.
My friends that are married because when they met, they were hammered.
The social lubricants.
And they hooked up. Yeah. And, you know, and then they had no choice. So it was like, it happens. It's all over the place.
I know. Everybody who is smoking hopes that they cure cancer before they die. You know, and that's your job as a doctor. I don't know why you're doing what you're doing here Monday. You should be in a lab, you know, trying to fix cancer. I don't know why you come in here and talk to these callers. You guys should be working your asses off. How close are we to a cure for cancer?
There's so much money being poured into it. I hope someday you know, we will. The key.
How about AIDS? I heard AIDS was close.
AIDS is closer. The key is genetic mapping. That's really what we're doing now, where we're looking to find out exactly where in the genome, the chromosomal structures, the areas that mutate, where those those changes are in a person so that we can reverse those changes or alter those changes.
Right. Now, I also heard that if you can make it for the next 10 or 15 years, if you can survive the next 10 or 15 years, that you, there's going to be a lot of breakthroughs and you might be able to live into well into your hundreds.
I don't know about well into your hundreds, but I do know that I think...
Or hundred, not hundreds.
Yeah.
Dude, 160.
Yeah. You're going to live to be 280, yeah. too.
I'm 385, man. Feel great.
But as our technology improves, especially with genetics, we have a much higher likelihood of, yeah, if you can stay around another 10 years, there's a much higher likelihood you can continue that.
Now, what do you think of all the conspiracy theorists that say, oh, you know what, there is a cure for cancer, but, you know, pharmaceutical companies don't want us to, you know, put that out there because that's not how they make their money. Because, you know, people do say that.
Yeah, you know, the pharma laws are going to change big time as of January 1st. You know how, like, pharmaceutical companies will give you all these, like, tchotchkes, like these yeah. pens and these sponge balls?
No more?
They used to take people to Hawaii, doctors, like, now it's all changed. They can't
can they still run commercials?
Anything.
Though?
I think they can still, it's their connection with the doctors that's completely changing.
Right.
Now it's, like, very kind of...
I've heard that as well.
Yeah, it's going to change big time.
From someone
I'm not going to have any pens anymore.
Well, right. That's the thing. I have a friend who was in pharmaceutical sales, and they're like, this sucks. It was so easy to, you know, map out a few plans over the old golf course in, you know, Mexico, but apparently we're not allowed to do that anymore.
Are they still going to allow the really hot chicks to deliver the pills, though?
I don't think you can stop that.
But isn't that like every delivery person who brings by, you know, the sample drugs, isn't that like a hot chick?
Well, yeah, but you know, it's funny. They have the Psychiatric Association National Meeting, the APA, and I talked to one of these hot chicks. They hire these booth babes to come in, right?
So,
and
so technical.
And see, here's the thing about doctors. We've been to school for 12, 13, 14. We've been to school a long, long time. So some of us are not the most socially adept individuals, right? And so we come to these big conferences. They hire these hot models or strippers to wear suits that are slightly provocative, and they look like they're marketing women from the pharma company. And they sit there and they flirt with you, and they all go through this whole like session where they're sizing up each of the doctors, and it's like they're manipulating you without even knowing you're being manipulated.
That's wow. great, though. What are you arguing about? What are you complaining about?
It was all right. I kind of like it.
Right. Charles in Santa Monica, you're on 97.1 FM. Talk.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's up with you, dude?
I'm just rolling around in my car, drinking and smoking, and radically depressed.
How much have you had to drink?
32 King Cobra.
32 King Cobras?
No, 32 ounces of King
32.
Cobra.
Oh, boy. All right.
Yeah. And I smoked a couple bowls, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you've made the right choice of getting behind the wheel. Mm-hmm. That's,
I listen to your show every single night, and I do the same thing. And I think that might be part of the problem.
Finally, somebody says
right.
It.
The show is depressing, or you're addicted to it?
I think a little of both.
All right. Well, I recommend this. Don't listen to it then. I mean, if that's depressing,
it saves
you.
A life. Come on.
Yeah, please.
I actually do have an honest question for Dr. Reef.
Sure.
It's about the marijuana. How do you stop smoking it?
That's a good question. You know, we talked about this before. What I ask people is, why are you smoking? Are you smoking just for fun? Are you smoking because your buddies smoke? You guys just hang out and it's like a bonding thing? Do you smoke because you have anxiety? Do you smoke because you're bummed? Like, why do you smoke? For the most people that I treat or I help out, they're smoking because it takes them away. It's a little bit of an escape, and it helps them with anxiety.
Most of the time, though, when you ask somebody why they smoke, don't you think that they lie? Their initial answer is not the truth. And it's not because they're purposely lying. It's because they may not know.
Yeah, I think some of them don't know, and I have to ask progressively more and more questions to finally get it out of them. The average pot smoker, dude, why are you smoking? I don't know. Like, they don't know.
Right.
But if I talk them through it and spend some time really trying to figure out what's going on in their lives, we eventually figure it out. And more often than not, it's because whatever's going on in their life, they don't want to deal with, or they're just anxious about something and the pot takes it away. So if it's an anxiety issue, I give them something to help them with anxiety, usually a medication, or I help them with breathing, or I help them, you know, they start exercising. They do something to minimize the anxiety. And sometimes it's a pill, and sometimes it's a lifestyle change.
Hey, Charles, what's going on with you professionally?
Whoa, what? Professionally?
Yeah.
What's that?
Dude,
well, you got a job?
Man. No, I got no job.
Okay, because that also might affect somebody. I mean, a lot of guys attach, you know, their entire life to their job.
I actually started, it's kind of crazy, but I actually started stealing stuff to get money, you know?
That's not bad. I'm not going to judge you. What are you stealing?
Computers and stuff, you know.
From residences?
No. Stores.
Ah.
From stores.
Ooh.
But I don't give away too much information.
Yeah, it's probably for the best.
How's that going?
I got caught a couple times, went to jail.
Oh, all right. Well, you know,
not so good.
Yeah. Hold on one sec. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to X performing with the New York Dolls at Club Nokia. And maybe you can sell those and you don't have to rip somebody's computer off.
Yeah.
It's live Saturday, December 20th. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com.
Oh,
he hung up. Well. I'll give it to somebody else. but if the guy's out stealing, he's drinking and driving, he's smoking weed... And he's listening to the show. Hey, listen, I can't do it.
What, yeah.
Toxic combination.
That's not a good combo. That's, yeah.
Yeah, when you start stealing for your habits, that's rough.
Yeah, that's the next step.
Is that right?
It's if people end up in rehab or jail, usually, or dead.
Oh, bubble. All right, Dr. Reef is with us, addiction medicine specialist. We don't have to break? Oh, we can go the rest of the hour? Look at that.
Wow.
All right, Randy, there
it's
we
like
go.
A special.
Let's take more calls then. Tommy in L.A., you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, you big stud.
Hey, what's going on with you?
Not much. I had a question. This girl that I was kind of running around with had mentioned that there's a drug out there, or a vitamin actually, or a herb or whatever, called Yohimbine, and I was curious of what the hell that was.
Yohimbe?
Yeah, Yohimbine. It's spelled
what's his
out.
Name again?
Is that to lose weight?
No, it's apparently like an over-the-counter type Viagra drug.
Oh,
really?
It's used for erectile dysfunction.
Look at that.
He did.
Does it work? It's a natural drug?
You know, some guys use it for weight performance too, like weight when they're lifting. It's an alpha 2 adrenergic. Well, it doesn't matter. Just it's a drug that increases the blood flow that goes to your penis.
Right.
So it can help with erectile dysfunction that way. It's got a few side effects. You can definitely get dizzy from it. Some guys have changes in personality. You know, they get some people get a little more aggressive on it. It's
yeah, but that's one of the only drugs where you can say, here's the list of side effects: dry eyes. You're going to go blind, diarrhea, cramping, farting. You're going to lose your hair. You're going to lose your eyesight,
memory.
Your sense of smell, your memory, and your taste.
Anal leakage.
But it's going to give you a better Woody. And like, well, where do I get
What's
it?
What's the problem?
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Let's go. Let's roll.
You know, personally, I think you're better off taking a Viagra or a Cialis or talking to your doctor. I mean, obviously, and seeing if your doctor
right.
will...
And Viagra, again, we had talked about this before, but it was initially designed as a heart pill. Is that right?
Well,
Great Britain?
They were looking at it for a bunch of things.
Side effect was it makes your wiener.
Right.
Wasn't it also a breathing thing? I know there was a lot of correlation between the sinuses and the penis, right?
Well, the drug definitely is looked at as a vasodilator. So a vasodilator is when the blood pools into an area, right? And so in this case, it's the erectile function. And it changes something called... Whoa, Randy.
Yeah. Oh, doesn't even sound right. And the sound effect machine's broken tonight.
Nice.
Jesus Christ. Weird. Hey, but how does the body know where to pump the blood? I mean, why doesn't your arm get bigger?
Well, that's a good question. You know, if you're pumping iron, right, and you're at the gym, but you also happen to have an erection at the same time,
right.
How does it know to go to that specific, or you're stimulated, sexually stimulated, how does it know to go in that area? I don't know that.
Huh. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
No, we got to put you back to school.
I know, I got to look it up. No, because I've always wondered that myself, is that how does it localize that area? It affects nitric oxide, right? Nitric oxide is used in, it's called the corpus cavernosum, where the blood pools in that area of the penis to make it grow.
Right.
But how does it know specifically to go to that area? Is it through the nitric oxide or is it through something else? I don't know that. I feel like not that.
Yeah. You know, I was rolling through Save-On the other day, and Dr. Reeve is with us, also a Gina grad. I was rolling through Save-On the other day, and I had a sinus problem, so I was going to get some of those, like, Sinu tabs or whatever. And I'm just thinking how stupid Americans are, where all of the nighttime pills and all the nighttime products are always dark blue. And all the daytime products are yellow.
Yeah, bright
you know,
yellow.
So if you buy, like, Dayquil, it's orange. You're like, oh, The sun's out during the day, so that must be the daytime drug. And the sun's not out during the night, so that blue one must be the night pill. How stupid are we? Yeah. Or we got a color code crap like that.
Hey.
You know, what are you going to do?
They should do it by side effects. Like, if you can get anal leakage, it should be like a brown pill.
Wow. Yes, exactly.
If you get
now
like...
See,
now Reeve's thinking.
Yeah. Hey, when somebody... and again, we're coming up on cold season. When I heard there was a pill that's coming out soon, or a breathalyzer or something like that. Maybe a mouth swab that can tell you within, I think 80-85% positive that you're getting a cold or not. Is that something you're familiar with?
Where did you read that?
I read that on the internet. The internet was talking about that.
Well, we're trying to come up. See, the problem is there's so many different influenza strains, like the common cold strains, that every year it seems like we're always like a year behind. Like, we figured out, okay, we know what to do with last year's influenza if it comes back, but now there's some new strain that shows up every time.
Are you a pro-flu shot guy or anti-flu shot?
I think if you're immunocompromised, meaning you're older or you're sick or you're really young, then I'm a huge flu shot guy. I think it's really important to
I get it every year.
Protected. Yeah, I think you might fall in one of those categories.
Even if I don't, I get it every year because I can't stand being sick.
Well,
really,
do you not get sick from the flu shot?
From the flu shot, I don't feel great.
But I mean, you don't feel great from the flu shot itself. But
I don't feel the day after the flu shot, I don't feel great. I don't feel sick. I just don't feel great. There's something off. But I haven't had the flu, knock on wood, in maybe 20 years.
That's great.
And I just don't get it. I'm sick. Maybe, with the flu shot, if I do get the flu, I'm sick for 24 hours.
Yeah.
It goes away.
I think you're more protected when you're getting the flu shot, but it doesn't completely protect you. I know many people that had the flu shot and still got sick.
Yeah, but I don't know why I get it, because the devil's children, the heathens that I work with, including this one, don't do anything to inoculate themselves. I don't know why I'm paying good money to inoculate myself.
I drink kombucha. I take wellness formula.
All right.
You know, I do all the Nature Mart stuff.
I go to Robex juice almost every day. Instead of coffee, I now get that. I feel a little better. But that Immunibac, whatever, the stuff you get in the juices, does that really help or is that just BS?
It depends what it is. I'd have to look at the contents to see what it is. But anything that gives you nutritional support is good if you're not getting the nutritional support through your food.
Right.
But
a lot of it comes down to how you eat.
Yeah. But if you just do it one time, it's like, whatever. I mean,
one
Tim
time's
goes
not going to do anything.
Every day, and that's something. But people are like, you know what? I've been a little sluggish. I've never tried this whole, Jamba thing. So give me a protein pack and one of those amino boosters.
Right.
And the next day, they all lie, act like they feel great.
Right.
It's just sugar rush.
Yeah, and that exactly night, they're right. They're at Jack in the Box on Thanksgiving.
Give me a Diet Coke.
Yes.
Stop it, dude.
Yeah.
What did I ever do to you?
Hey, Randy, please. It's really getting tight.
He brought it up.
It's coincidence.
It's a coincidence that he happened to be talking about you and Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Jeff in Canoga Park. You're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Hey, all right. Two things. One, I looked up the Yohimbe thing online.
Right.
And I said that Yohimbe particularly aids blood flow to the corpus cavernosum.
Oh.
So it just helps that one part that's kind of...
One for Reef.
Right.
The more you know. So just real quick, I guess I'm starting my business. I graduated from college, and I kind of get a little anxious, I guess you could say.
What business are you starting?
It's entertainment.
Right. What are you doing in entertainment?
Well, I DJ.
Oh, all
right. So, yeah, man, everything's been going good, and I've also done some music for a couple movies, a couple TV shows, so.
There you go. You're taking off. Look at you.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going bad, but I got to do a lot of cold calling, and I get real anxious when I'm doing that cold calling, and it spills over with women as well.
What do you charge for your service?
Yes. You said, do I charge for my service?
No, what do you charge?
It depends. Somewhere between about $400 an event.
That's not bad.
But Jeff, I'm sure you know this, but if you're a really good DJ, you don't need to know how to talk to the ladies. The ladies will come to you.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, well, for the most part, it depends.
An aphrodisiac, my friend.
How old are you?
24.
Oh. You smoking weed?
Occasionally, I dabble.
All right, so you have anxiety.
It's not exactly anxiety. I just get this nervousness just kind of overtakes me right before I do it. Like, if it's somebody I know, no problem. After I've talked to them the first time,
after I've talked to you that I'm cool. It's just that first initial.
All right. So he doesn't have anxiety, but he has extreme nervousness.
Exactly.
Well, how about talking, Dr. Reef here, how about talking in front of groups, talking in front of people?
For the most part, I'm fairly comfortable with that. Just from college and everything, I got really comfortable with that. I could tend to get caught up on my words occasionally sometimes. So I was thinking about doing like a Toastmasters class or something to kind of help with that.
Yeah, so when do you get nervous? You get nervous when you're talking to one person?
More so, this is somebody I'm not familiar with. If I don't know you, and it's something like, even like right now, like I'm not really nervous right now. But I mean, it's just kind of, you know, I may get caught up in the beginning of the call. Like, I may get caught up on my words occasionally. It's just something. Yeah. It's just little things that I notice that I'm trying to get over.
You start stuttering
when I'm trying to talk to women as well, like to make that first move. Like I have no problem with my confidence there. Like I know I can get it. It's just. I can't, you know, just to go over there, I just, you know, hesitate. I know it's just natural.
Well, that's the thing, like, not to diminish anything you're saying, but that sounds pretty damn normal to me. I mean, I know it happens to me, and I know it happens to probably everybody, doesn't it, Dr. Reeve?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to understand the nature of your nervousness, because I think every guy is going to be,
I guess,
I don't know about DJs, they don't say...
Yeah, you're nervous talking to chicks, everyone's got that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even, I guess more so for me, it's when it... The problem for me is when it stops me from progressing. Like today, like for instance, today, I guess we'll use that. I know I have to make some phone calls, but I'm like, I think of every excuse why I shouldn't make these phone calls. You know, I have every excuse, you know, why I shouldn't let me do this, let me do that. You know, and actually, you know, it stops. I'm finding it's stopping me from progressing, and that's when it's becoming a problem for me. So.
Right.
But is the nervousness leading to procrastination, or are you just procrastinating because, you know, you're just not sure about what the...
I'm 100% sure of what I'm doing. Like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I'm more comfortable, I guess, I'm comfortable, I guess, more so behind the scenes. Like, I'm great doing all this.
Right. Are you making decent money?
Yeah, everything.
Why don't you get an assistant to make those calls?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll say it's going all right, because right now I've just been doing doing all the behind the scenes stuff, trying to focus on the business. So I haven't, you know, been putting myself out there, and that's what I want to do now. That's why I have to start doing all this cold calling and putting myself out there and all the stuff. I'm not, you know, I'm really internal, reserved kind of person.
You sound very articulate to me. It doesn't sound like you have a problem.
Here's what I would do. If it really impairs your functionality and you just are like paralyzed and you can't do anything, then I would go talk to a doctor about it. But otherwise, it doesn't sound up front like a huge deal. But if it gets really bad, then yeah, I would talk to your doctor.
I mean, pretty much I just need to man up and just get through it.
Just stop being nervous. All right, buddy. You're a major stud. Hold on one sec. We're going to give you a pair of tickets to CX. Performing with the New York Dolls. Look at that. Club Nokia Live. And it's Saturday, December 20th. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Congratulations. You'll be all nervous down there.
New York Dolls are legendary.
Is that right? Who's X?
I'm not quite sure.
But X.
New York Dolls, my God.
X with the Dolls. All right, there you go. All right, let's talk to Peter in Northridge. You're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Good. What's up with you?
Have you guys heard of these new electronic cigarette devices that are out on the market?
No. Oh.
Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, it's like these cigarettes. They're electronic devices that look just like cigarettes, and they have no tobacco, but yet they smoke. They have like a water vapor smoke with nicotine.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
does it work?
It's like the homeopathic effect of giving a little bit of nicotine in
right.
it, and it's like it's got cartridges and... It, the concept is that it's a healthier alternative. Right?
Yeah, but what happens, and it could be, you know, 1 in 10, it could be 1 in 1,000,000, what happens when one of those blows up in your face?
I was going to ask that, too. You electrocute yourself.
That would be bad. Yeah, that would be a bad result.
You go back to smoking.
Yeah.
All right, buddy, thanks. I'll look into it. I mean, that's not it's a decent alternative. There's a billion ways to quit smoking now.
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's nicotine replacement. There's Chantix, which is, you know, that newer medication on
the
market.
You get those funky dreams with Chantix, huh?
You know, Chantix is interesting. I've prescribed it a lot, you know, and I've had a few patients that have had some problems with it. The majority of patients have done really well, and they've quit smoking.
Is it nightmares or just crazy dreams?
Some people get very vivid, amplified dreams. So if you normally have a dream that, you know, you're being followed for a second, then you're really being followed. Like, it's hardcore,
really?
Stuff. Yeah. And some people, it's really vivid. Some people, it's nightmares. Some people get, don't feel well on it. You know, like flu-like symptoms. But the majority...
It's also speedy, isn't it?
It's to most of my patients, it's not speedy. Yeah, but when I get somebody who has a bad response to it, all bets are off as far as the side effect, because some of them feel like a little speedy. Some have felt depressed. Some have felt just flu-like symptoms. Some have felt, so it's one of those things where I'll prescribe it to somebody and I'll be like, look, you got to keep in really good touch with me in this next week when you've taken it, and just let me know exactly right. what's going on with your body so that I know whether to stop the medication right away or not.
Jack Silver, our program director, was on it for a while, and this Shantex to quit smoking. And I accidentally called him while he was on it, and he was literally on the phone for like an hour and a half. I'm like, "What, Babu? What's going on with you?" He's like, "Oh, I'm on the Shantex, man. He's upbeat and tall. He's like a woman. Like, I'm like, I can't take it anymore." It does get you talking, though. It gets you moving.
It depends on the person. That's what's so interesting about these drugs, is that we can predict some of them. You know, I used to work as a clinical coordinator for a contract research unit where we test drugs. You know, like, they test the drugs on, like, animals for a while. They do animal testing, and then they test them on humans. So I was living in Austin, Texas, and we would have this trial where we brought in college students from University of Texas. We put in these ads, and they would come in, and we would test these medications on them.
Right.
And
for like $20.
For like, yeah, well, they made decent money.
I always thought that was a low-end move. I don't know how you limbo under, I'm going to go in for $20 or $100 or $500.
They were paying them a fair amount of money, and most of the time it was no big deal. But
I have friends in Kansas that did it all the time.
Yeah.
Sleep away, like camp.
Yeah, right. But anyway, so most of the time we can detect what's going to happen side effect wise.
Right.
But every once in a while you're surprised because everybody's biology is so different.
And then whammo.
Yeah, like,
yeah,
like
a wild rhino.
Peeling somebody off rhino. The ceiling.
Yeah. All right, let's talk to Armando in Lake Forest. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Yeah, good. I heard you guys roughly say that you guys spoke about Vicodin last week, roughly, and there's some that I'm really caught up into on a real high level.
How many you taking?
I take roughly about 10 to 15, 10 tens a day.
10 to 15 a day?
Yes, 10 to 15, 10 milligrams?
I've probably been doing it for about a year and a half now.
Are you taking, this is Dr. Reef here, are you taking the HPs, or which Vicodin are you taking?
It would be like the Watsons, 10, 325s.
I hate to say this. This might be bad advice, but you're fine.
Oh, jeez.
Isn't that good?
The thing is like, they get you going. It's a real pain in the ass to get off. And from what I'm told, it is more or less a heroin.
Right. Are you constipated?
Yes, I am. And that's one thing that I was wondering about. I was curious is on constipation. Does that have anything to do with, like, colon cancer, anything like that?
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know if you make, colon cancer, or is it something, hereditary?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, if somebody's constantly constipated, does that affect their colon eventually, your colon cancer?
Well, eventually, if there's a reason that you have bowel movements, right? And
right.
if you don't have a bowel movement, you can have an obstruction, and that can lead to all sorts of GI problems, not necessarily colon cancer. The constipation is a direct effect of the opiate.
Can you have breached turds?
Breached turds. You want to describe that?
I mean, like, can't like a turd, flow back up in your system because you ain't hitting it?
Yeah, that could be a problem.
Is that possible?
Yeah. Float back into your system.
Well, I think like, or just, bust out of your colon and get into your blood system.
Well, I would
it's got nowhere to go.
Toxify your body.
Yeah, it's not coming out of your bucket.
Well, if that were to happen and it wasn't coming out, then you could get septic, or you could get bacteria all over your.
And that's not a medical term, breached turd.
Breached turd. No, I in med school. Hey, Randy. In med school, I don't recall reading that. No.
Breached. Sounds like a great punk band.
I had a friend in high school who had that.
Is that right?
He got septic?
Yeah, and he smelled so bad.
Whoa. Yeah, when you're septic, it's not a good thing.
All right.
But, with the Vicodin.
Armando. With the Vicodin.
So if you're taking 10 to 15 a day, that's a problem. It's a problem for two reasons. It's a problem because of the opiate response that you're getting, and it's a problem because of the amount of Tylenol that you're getting. You know when it says 10, 325? The 10 is hydrocodone, which is the opiate response. The 325 is the Tylenol. When you take a lot of Tylenol, it can really damage your liver.
Right.
Also, tell me this, because I've taken 325, I've taken 500, I've taken 650s. Now, the 650s, why do they make it so speedy when you take more aspirin? Why am I get real speedy out of the deal, and that's more or less why I take them. It's because I wake up and I take a couple, boom, 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 and the higher the aspirin, the faster
it's a Tylenol. So the hydrocodone is the same. It's 10 every time.
Is it 10 every time with the hydrocodone?
Yes, I don't go under the 10. But I take two or three at a time. So I'm probably taking 30 milligrams on top of 1,000 milligrams of aspirin at a time.
Well, Armando, I'll say this. You know, most people don't normally have a speedy response from Tylenol, increasing the Tylenol. That's not that common. But the effect on your liver, I don't know how old you are, but the effect on your liver is definitely going to be pronounced sooner or later, taking that much Tylenol and that much hydrocodone. If I were you, I would really try to talk to an addiction doctor and see if you can get off of that. Suboxone is a really good drug that we've talked about before to help people get off of it. You know, you got to get off the Suboxone eventually, which is can be a little challenging.
How do you do that? Booze?
No, booze. There's medications you can use to get off it, or you just go really, really slow.
Well, you know, one of the reasons why, and I've heard this from many doctors, is why you shouldn't be on that many Vicodins a day. Like, let's say you get in a car accident and you're in a tremendous amount of pain.
Right.
Because you're addicted to Vicodin, there may not be anything in that hospital that can take that pain away.
Well, you can give fentanyl to override it. But the thing is the doctors aren't going to necessarily know.
Right.
It's not like you wear a bracelet that says, dude, I take 10 Vicodins a day.
What is the gold medal winner for pain relievers? Is it
fentanyl's really good?
Dilaudid, is that up there?
Dilaudid's definitely up there.
Yeah,
you have experience?
No, my sister does though. She was on. They gave her. She had a bad neck and she had a really like a pinched vertebrae and a really terrible neck. And she had it operated on where she had to replace two of the vertebrae. But they were giving her morphine and morphine and morphine. It didn't help. And they gave her a tiny bit of Dilaudid, and she jumped up and she goes, hey, let's get out of here. I'm done.
Well,
it does work.
It's interesting because it's variable, too, that some people Dilaudid's the best drug. For other, OxyContin's the best drug. For others, you know.
Flexeril's
right.
not bad.
Dr. Reef, everybody.
Wow.
Thanks for coming in. DrReef.com. DrReef.com. Thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me. It's always
fun.
Yeah,
we love having you come in every Monday.
Your callers.
And Gina Grant. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. Joining us from the John and Jeff Show are the two major studs who host that show every night, John and Jeff. Nice to see you, fellas.
Jimmy.
Hey.
What's up, Tim?
What's going on with that big show tonight, man?
You know, I was thinking earlier today, how many businesses have been ruined by the internet?
Oh, yeah.
The car industry. You know how people go to on websites, find out what a car is actually worth, a good price to buy it. Then you hammer the dealer, and the dealer ends up not making much of a profit.
Right. How about newspapers?
Newspapers, TV stations.
How about this one?
Retail stores.
How about travel agencies?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, before, like when you and I were growing up, our parents used to go to a travel agency and they would design, you know, and rearrange the whole trip. Now everybody does it themselves.
Yeah, you just go to Orbitz or Priceline.
I don't know anybody that goes to a travel agency anymore. Nobody.
It's true. So has the internet ruined a lot of businesses?
We'll talk about it. It's a great topic, man. Yeah, it has ruined a lot of businesses. It's helped some other businesses. It's helped people, you know, buy and sell stocks. But then again, it's killed some brokerages.
Right. You know how they say Walmart gets rid of a lot of jobs? Well, so is the internet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the internet is, you know, we had taken calls a couple months ago and asked people between 18 and 34 to call us. And then we didn't tell them what we were doing. But we said, when you go to see a movie or buy a car or rent an apartment or whatever, where do you get the information? And all of them said either the internet or a friend or, you know, they stop by a movie theater, drive by or call, whatever. None of them said a newspaper. In the entire hour, not one person said the newspaper.
What's a newspaper?
Yeah, so that's, I think it's going away. I mean, look, Tribune just, you know, declared bankruptcy today. And technically, I don't know what it means nowadays. You know, all these businesses say, we're going to, you know, file Chapter 11, but it's business as usual. But back when, like you and I and the three of us were growing up, when you went bankrupt, you were out of money.
Right.
That's why you went bankrupt.
That was it, yeah.
Now they use this, you know, the Chapter 11 and bankruptcy to restructure. And you're like, well, why can't I do that then? you know?
Well, you can, but it's a little bit harder for personal
it's tougher,
bankruptcy.
Yeah,
it's
easier for corporate.
And back in the day, if you filed for personal bankruptcy, you didn't tell anyone.
And it was a stigma. You're right. There was a stigma.
You were like, I can't tell anyone.
Yeah, now it's like, hey, guess what? We screwed that guy because we went Chapter 11.
Yeah.
It's unreal. All right, John and Jeff are up next. I'll be on tomorrow right after Tom Likas. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. Why does Barack Obama, who just became the president of the United States, why does he have to talk to Tom Brokaw like Tom Brokaw is a principal who just caught a sixth grader having a goddamn cigarette? Where is the guy like, you know, Ronald Reagan or the Duke who will say, you know, it's none of your goddamn business? Or Jack Nicholson? You know, why do these guys all have to respond to these a-holes?
Pander.
Jesus Christ, this is irritating. The guy's having a cig a goddamn rent. It's one cigarette every once in a while. Leave him alone.
KLSX. KLSX HD. Los Angeles.
Get complete shows from Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Just go to 971fmtalk.com and subscribe with iTunes.